Hello and welcome. It's now time for the Word of Truth broadcast with the preaching ministry of Brother Ray Gillis, Jr. of Coach, North Carolina. Heard here each week exclusively on the Pentecostal Voice of Truth radio network. Now here's your friend and mine, Brother Ray.
Hello and greetings everywhere to my radio listening friends. It's so good to be with you today. I'm glad that you've taken time to join us. Gather with us today as we join together in song and prayer in the preaching of the Word of God to worship Him. Gather your families. Get a King James Bible. Gather close into the radio. And as we begin this portion of the broadcast with a song, let's turn our hearts toward the Lord to receive His word of truth in our hearts. Prayer time now on the broadcast. We want to take this time to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for favor and mercy and strength and grace and healing for our bodies, help for our financial needs. Truly, there's a lot to be in prayer about. Our nation is in trouble. Preachers and pastors, evangelists, missionaries need the Lord. Church members need the Lord. Join us as we pray. Maybe you would like to kneel close to the radio. We'd be a little closer that way. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord. Father, it is truly with thanksgiving that we come to you right now and ask you for your help and your mercy, your grace and your blessing. You're so good and kind to us. You are the great God, our Creator, the Almighty, Jehovah. And Father, you're our potter. We're just the clay. You've made us into your image and after your likeness. And we depend upon you for all things in life. Would you help us, Father? There are those that are sick in body. There are those who are afflicted today. There are some who are backslid, Lord, that have known you and one time walked with you and have turned aside. Father, we pray in Jesus' name right now that you would meet these needs and work in hearts and lives. Miracles, Lord, to be performed. Open the hard-hearted that has blinded themselves by the things of this world. Those that are sick and are feeble, Lord, lying in bed, even now, would you reach down and help them and touch them. Give us favor. Bless our churches. Bless the ministry. Bless the people, Heavenly Father, who attend church faithfully and walk with you every day. Encourage us in these dark times. And let our hearts look toward you. God, we know that your second coming is soon. We know that Jesus will soon step on the cloud of glory and come back to take away the bride. Help us to be watching, ready, and waiting, Heavenly Father. Oh God, and enduring to the end, knowing that if we will hold on, the he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Thanks. Now that we've prayed, why don't we give the Lord some thanksgiving? The book of Psalms, chapter 105. The first three verses read like this: Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Lord, we are truly thankful today for your great mercy and your blessings. You're a God that loves us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts today. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. The servant of God, Moses, is speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. There are three factors that make us as men and women. Namely, those three are heredity, environment, and choice. Heredity and environment are mighty factors in our life. They're mighty fashioning forces that meet every one of us at the very threshold of life. But I believe that the greatest of these three is the fact that we have been given a choice. We are free moral agents. When God placed Adam in the garden and put him in charge of the entire world, as it were, as he gave him the command, he gave him everything that he needed to sustain his life with. He gave him fruits and vegetables. He gave him all the necessities of life were contained within the garden. But we find where God gave to Moses or to Adam this command, I have placed a tree in the midst of the garden. Of all the trees that are in the garden, you have access to. I do not require you to abstain from all of those trees, but this tree, which is in the midst of the garden. He gave the destination. He said, of all the others, you have free access. But that one tree is forbidden to you. And then God backed off after he had given that command. He withdrew his hand and he gave Adam the choice. He said, I've placed here before you this tree in the garden that you have access to. But at the same time, I want you to understand that it's your choice as to whether or not you will have it's your choice whether you will partake of the fruit of this tree. And by giving Adam that choice, Adam becomes his own free will, moral agents. We trace our lineages all the way back to God's creation in the garden. And we understand that God gave to us through Adam this ability to choose and to make decision. And so as great as heredity is, there are things and traits even in my life that I have carried over from my father. My dad, I look at myself sometime and I think, wow, that's how dad would have done that. Or I can see how dad's traits and characters have drifted into my, just by the fact that he's my biological father. Amen. And I can see sometimes things. Even with my mother, there are things in my life I look at and I think to myself, that's just like mom. Or even just like dad. And so heredity is great and it meets us at the threshold of life. Environment also is great. The situations that we find ourselves in. We understand sometime that, amen, we are affected by our environment, but choice must exceed these. The greatest in making or unmaking us is found in the choice that we have been given. We are moral agents of our own free ability. We have the ability to choose. And I want you to understand something. The law of choice cannot be changed. It remains unchangeable. There are some things that we can evade. There are some things that we can treat with indifference. But when it comes to the choosing of a master in our life, there is no middle ground. Hear me today. We are presented with the choice of one or two lives. Amen. We've been given the choice of one of two deaths. We've been given the choice of one of two resurrections, one of two destinies, one of two masters, amen. And choose one or the other, we must. There can be no division, there can be no separation from these choices, but we must meet them, and we have a decision to make. You see, a choice is an important thing, for choice results in an action. And the action results in a habit. And habit then results in a character. And a character results in our destiny. That's right. Amen. The things that we choose, the things that we make a decision to allow ourselves to become a part of. Amen. It ultimately decides our destiny. You see, it's our choices, not our environment, not our heredity, but it's our choices. Amen. That our character is formed from. And it's through our choices. It's through our choices that we settle our destiny. Amen. I hope you'll hear me today, for what I speak to you is truth. It's our choices, amen, that cause us to sink or cause us to soar in the heavens. Amen. By what we decide to do, we come to failure. By what we decide to do, we come to success. Amen. The fact remains that everybody, amen, man, woman, boy, or girl, lives from the heart. Amen. For the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the best way and the most inexpensive way for us to change, amen, amen. Come on here. The best way and the most inexpensive way, amen, to change us, me, you, to change humanity, mankind, if you will, man, that person, that soul, that individual, amen, the best way to change that environment is to change the person. Amen. Hear what I say today. Amen. You see, you've heard the story of the pig, amen, in the parlor, shining him up, amen, changing his environment, bringing him inside, making sure he's clean and got the nice things. But I can tell you, amen, just as sure, amen, as I'm here today preaching the word of God to you, just as sure as that pig is released, amen, back into the hog pen, amen, it will not change him because his environment has changed, amen, but he will find, though he's been spit shined and polished, you'll find him right back in the hog pen, wallowing in the mud. You've changed his environment, but you never changed him. And I'm telling you, in this hour, it's easy to go with the crowd. It's easy to stand and say, we'll follow them. We'll go with them. Amen. I'll follow the crowd. Hey, come on here and let me talk to you just a little while today. Amen. Let me tell you the truth of God's word. Amen. It's easy. You don't have to have a mind. You don't have to have a purpose. You don't have to have a will or a culture. It doesn't require originality for you to lose your soul. You don't need any creative genius to find your way to hell. Just follow the crowd. Amen. Choose them and they will lead you, amen, into the pits of hell. Why? Because the crowd has chosen the destiny. Amen. If it feels good, do it. But I'm here to tell you today, by the grace and the power of God, amen, the best way to change your environment is to change you, and it's your choice. Will you allow the change to be made? Will you allow for God to reach down into your heart? Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to have some convictions in this hour. We are living in such a sad day. Do you understand the scripture when Jesus was preaching and Jesus let it be known that there was a road that was broad? There was a road, or is a road, I should say, that there is a road that's broad and a gate that is wide. And the Bible says, many there be that go in thereat. Hear what I say today. Jesus was preaching to the crowd and he said, but there's also a road that's narrow, straight, and the gate is narrow. And he said, few there be that go in thereat. He placed before us, just as the words are written down in Deuteronomy, where he said, I have called to heaven and earth to record or to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Choices, choices, choices. You see, without convictions, amen, we'll just be led about by every way. Lot was a man without convictions. Note something that I did not say. He was not a man without beliefs. You see, belief is one thing, but conviction is completely different. A belief is what a man holds, but a conviction is what will hold the man or the woman. You understand the difference there? Believing in something is what I hold to, but having a conviction about it is what holds me. Oh, for the sturdiness of true independence from the crowd in this world. It's wonderful to see a Caleb withstanding the clamor of the other spies and saying, we can take the land, and wholly following the Lord. Hallelujah. It's great to see the Hebrew boys standing upright while all the masses about him have fallen prostrated, amen, to a golden image. And it's so magnificent to see a Daniel refusing to defile himself with the king's meat. Everybody recognizes the difference between a man who has convictions, amen, of his own, and one who is governed by the opinion of the crowd. And I'm telling you, in this hour, we must not be led by the crowd, but we must have convictions and choose life that we may live. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. I feel the power of the Lord trying to help a soul. If you'll heed to the sound of my voice, amen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Twice are recorded these words in the book of Proverbs, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God, would you grant us of the right mind to make a decision today, to make the choice, to choose life that we may live. Hallelujah. Amen. What the mob thinks, the man without conviction thinks. What the mob does, the man without conviction does. And where the mob goes, the person without conviction goes. The person without conviction is ruled by the things of this world. They make a decision not to choose life. My God, help us. You see, some would tell us that we're creatures of our environment and that we do what we do because we cannot help doing it. But I'm telling you, that is a fallacy and a lie from the pit of hell. Now, I'm going to admit to you that environment is great and it's a mighty force, but it of itself has never yet saved a single person. Hear what I say. Environment did not save Adam and Eve. You see, amen, they were placed into a paradise. Amen, they had not known sin. Everything about them, amen, they fell from this beautiful and wholesome place. Everything about them was perfect, but because of their environment, amen, it had no bearing upon them. For they made a decision because we have the ability to choose. Environment has no bearing in so much to choose our destiny. It's never saved a single person. Remember Joseph, sold into an idolatrous country, betrayed by his brothers, cast into prison after a false accusation made against him. Here he is bound. Here he is bound. He's a prisoner, just an old slave boy, bound in the prison house. Yet, I say to you that his environment did not change him, because he was a man of convictions. Sold into this country, lied on by an unprincipled woman. Amen. Put into prison for years, and yet we see him rising to second in command. Overcoming his environment, becoming superior to his environment. And heredity may be a greater force than environment, but I'll say this to you, that heredity, environment, as powerful as they are, cannot debase someone, amen, without that person's consent. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter where you were born, how you were born, and what environment you were born into. Makes no difference who your mom and dad were and what kind of character they were given and presented to you. You are a creature of choice. You're not a creature of your environment. You're a creature of your own will. You are what you are because you choose to be. And you will. Your will is the foundation of your character, and your character is pivoted on your will. And I'm telling you, your salvation is pivoted on your will. Your destiny is pivoted on the choice that you make. You see, There are two victories. There are two victorious elements in the life of every person, namely the power of God and the will of man. Those two elements. Your will is weak, and your will may be rather weak, but your will, when it's hooked on to the power of God, will pull you through any sort of environment. My, I hope you're hearing me today. Amen. I hope you're hearing me today. My God, true success. Listen to me, church. True success does not consist in what we have, but it consists in what we are. And since death is not an ending, it's only a beginning. Then, to have lived without Christ and God's Spirit in our life, and to have died without Jesus, and to stand in judgment without the Lord. Oh my, listen, it means that we have lived and died a failure. But by faith, Moses, when he came to years, chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God, hallelujah, rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And in making his choice, Moses did what every other person ought to do. He weighed the present with the eternal, hallelujah. And because of this decision, he weighed the present honors with riches and the pleasures of Egypt, amen, which could only be for a brief season, amen. And he took those and compared them with the eternal honor and riches and pleasures at the right hand of God, amen. And we see Moses, amen, buried by God's hand. And even though the angels, amen, strove with the angels and the demons of hell, amen, God so buried him so that no one knew. And we see Moses, amen, when we come to the New Testament, and we find Moses, and by faith Moses obtained the favor of God, amen, and God, amen, took him out of this world, hallelujah, because he made a decision to follow him, made a decision, a choice to follow Christ. What about you today? What about you? Amen. What we have today is a vision to understand where we're going. For I see church people all across who are fastly going blind. Amen. And we got to have a vision. And we must understand that we have a choice to make. And our vision must lead us to make choices sometimes that are tough. But I want you to understand something, church. We live by the decisions that we make. And we'll spend eternity by the decisions that we make. I pray that God would help each and every one of us today to choose what is right, to choose to live, to choose to live by the power of God, by the grace of God, and by the Spirit of God. Sometimes those choices may interfere with what I want to do, with how I think about it. Sometimes those choices may require sacrifice, but oh, the sacrifice is worth it when we stand in eternity, judged rightly by the grace of God. Join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we see today that we've been given a choice, and we know there are two roads. One leads to heaven, not many find it. The other leads to hell. The Bible tells us there are many that go there, but we have a choice today to make, and we can choose life that we may live. I pray you'll help us, Father. Give us the Spirit of God. Lead us. Guide us into all truth. Give us favor. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Join me again next week as we rightly divide the word of truth.
You've been listening to the Word of Truth broadcast with your host, Brother Ray Gillis, Jr. Heard weekly each Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. on the Pentecostal Voice of Truth radio network. If you'd like to contact Brother Ray, he would love to hear from you. You may do so by email. The address is brothergillis@gmail.com. Please join us again next time as we rightly divide the word of truth.